Welcome, everybody. No countdown. We're going live 1 minute before 3 o'clock. Welcome to the show. Not sure what's my hair and what is my logo here, but welcome in, everybody. Let me get my comments up on the board. It's Monday. It's Mania. Coming back from, personally, I was at, lucky enough, super, super lucky. So do not take that for granted that I was at that show last night, AEW Dynasty. We'll be talking about that today, obviously. Raw is in Columbus tonight, and I am busy, so I will not be at Raw live. So, you know, I guess to distill my madness as a human being and as a wrestling fan is I'll travel 6.5 hours the day before and then miss the show in my hometown the next day. So, you know, I think that sums me up pretty good as a human being. So, welcome in, everybody. This is Monday Mania. I am your host, Tyler Sage. You can see at the very bottom there, my little star. And this is a Brass Ring Media, as you see that in these corners. Brass Ring Media production every Monday, 3 o'clock, or right about there. Live here on YouTube in the dungeon. The last graduate of the Sage Dungeon down here. And yeah, we're here talking mainly AEW Dynasty. Right after this show, you know, usually we go 25, 30 minutes, depending on how it is. Obviously, your comments, your super chats, always welcome to help move the conversation. But yeah, after this, Zach, Haydorn, and I are going to be recording our Patreon exclusive AEW Dynasty review show. We always like to give it, you know, a little less than 24 hours before we do a review show to let things marinate. If you're a Patreon member, Zach has given his ratings on everything. I'll be doing that on the show as well. Sometimes he does rings in lieu of stars. Sometimes I just give you a vibe check on the matches, you know, a thumbs up, thumbs down, or something like that. So a good reason to check out the Patreon, patreon.com/brassringmedia. It's $4 a month. Would really appreciate your business if you can do it. If not, hey, that's why we're here on YouTube too, to talk wrestling. So yeah, let's get into it. Yeah, last night, crazy show, right? I mean, is it the most AEW thing of all time? Where, you know, nothing but kind of negative news leading up to it. The main, you know, three matches on the show, the way it's booked, right? Anti-modern day wrestling booking, right? To do those three main events, you know. Which is, you know, how AEW collaboratively books those shows to do, you know, the three main events that we saw, right? The tag team match, the world title match, and Danielson and Ospreay. To do that back to back to back, you know, in the Vince era of WWE where there's lots of matches, right? You would have that Jericho Hook match be the second from the top to give you the cool down so you can get ready for the main event. It would have been the very quick TBS title match as Julia Hart was hurt, obviously. So interesting there. I like that identity. I was very worried sitting in the building that the energy level was not going to be there for the three. All three matches were incredibly different, obviously. And Zach and I will talk about this because, you know, I did not listen to the broadcast, obviously. But, you know, each of those three main events, Isaac, yes. I mean, super lucky, right? And I mean, that is literally like behind the curtain. And this is more of a Patreon thing, but I'll give you guys a little taste here. Like, literally, I'll pull up my phone. I'll see when Zach texted me. So, just so you know, I know this is great content, but Zach, who's an Android user, don't want to out him, but he's got a green text here. Let me see when he texted me, when he had tickets. This is very exciting, I know. I apologize. Okay, Monday, April 15th, he's like, hey, I can't make it. I have a ticket. Do you want it? So I was not even going to go. And thankfully, hopefully, you know, everything's okay with Zach. He had something come up, and I took the ticket and went. So, yes, great decision. Very lucky to go. Besides interacting with you guys and being able to talk wrestling with, my friend Zach weekly, multiple times a week. That is a great perk of doing this. So I appreciate you guys for letting that be able to happen. And yeah, again, Patreon, me and Zach are going to talk about this in depth, match by match, a deep analysis. This is more just my experience live there, but I was worried about it. I'm curious what you guys, you know, I've not talked to Zach, how it was, the structure of the show, right? I mean, obviously there's the great matches, but to basically go, there's four main matches on this card out of nine matches. You do the Okada pack match to start, and then you have essentially the five, you know, leave it or take it matches in a row, and then three just, you know, matches that on their own could have been the main event of a pay-per-view, right? How they're structured. So I'm interested to see how that was for you as a live viewer. Obviously, everyone on the East Coast up till midnight, and, you know, it's like Sunday night, and it's 10:30, and you're like, oh my God, this is just starting here, this pay-per-view essentially. So I wonder how that feedback is, but I think it was so good that it doesn't really matter, right? And then to go back to my previous statement of the difference in like strategy of doing these pay-per-views, right? Like Triple H's version of WWE pay-per-views now is what, six matches max, right? So you wouldn't have this issue. You probably would do, yeah, if you had four of these matches, you would have, you know, probably the same match open, probably like the tag team match, filler, Danielson and Ospreay, filler, and then the main event, right? That would be kind of the current modern Triple H version of WWE structure on how this would have gone, which would have made the show even better, in my opinion, right? Focus on the good stuff, get it there. I mean, the crowd was still hyped for everything. Those three main event matches were all very different in their own way, which helped to do different things. But, you know, the main event match, definitely, I mean, that crowd gave it all for the Ospreay-Danielson match. I was surprised how good the reactions were throughout the night, obviously. An incredible crowd there in St. Louis. And at the scrum, it was, you know, a lot of local St. Louis media talking a lot about the, asking questions about the history of St. Louis as a wrestling town. Obviously big 50s, 60s, 70s NWA territory, that NWA Midwest title defended there a lot, which is a very elusive belt. If you ever get your chance to buy that, I would invest in that, because that can get you a pretty penny as a little note to you all. But so a lot of pride there in that city, as someone who's not from there, for their spot as a wrestling town. And I think they really came through and proved that, you know, about 6,500 people there, 6,400, if anyone has the WrestleTix pulled up and can give that to me live. You know, it was a small arena, obviously. It's where the St. Louis University Billikens, I think is what they are. It's like some sort of weird demon thing, play. So if any of you have ever been to the Wintrust Arena, which is where, you know, the original All In and the first couple All Outs took place, it's a building smaller than that, but it, same vibe. So I think the acoustics are really good. You can really hear, clearly hear sections as chants started, whatnot. So, you know, if you're not going to do, you know, sell out 20, you know, NHL, NBA stadiums in a row, right? Like WWE is doing currently, or stadiums on a regular basis for essentially every pay-per-view going forward, at least in this run for WWE here. I think arenas like this, if you can get the right amount of people, it makes it feel like a bigger arena than it really was when you're sitting there, from a crowd and participation. Obviously the hardcore of the hardcore are there for those pay-per-views, but Tony in that presser said, you know, the spots for every pay-per-view in 2024 are booked out, which makes total sense, right? But to look to go back to St. Louis probably in 25 for a pay-per-view. So, you know, look out for that. I'm excited to see that crowd in action if it's next year. And that would be a good barometer for where attendance is for the company on a very micro scale. Because I think a lot of people that were there that maybe weren't like as gung-ho about AEW would be like, oh yeah, you got to go. That was super fun last year. So I think that's an interesting note as well. But yeah, so enough of my preamble about some experience stuff. I'm curious what you guys think about the matches. You know, obviously we have Swerve Strickland winning the AEW world title from Samoa Joe in a very, very cool costume. And if you haven't seen him at the press conference, you know, and I saw the photo, if you've seen that too, of him doing like the Kobe Bryant. I don't know if that's Kobe's first title in what, 98? Because they went 98 to 2000. They did a three-peat. Recreated that photo, which is very cool. Had the, you know, obviously the Black Panther Marvel character outfit, which is very cool. And yeah, a good coronation. Obviously, that was why the color scheme of the event was purple and yellow for the Lakers. He was emulating, you know, Kobe, and this is a new dynasty that they're starting. So, you know, again, like the marketing of AEW in general is very ethereal. And like when you put it all together, I'm sitting there, you know, someone who covers this a lot is backstage, is literally hearing from the new champion and the owner. It like just clicked for me that was like the whole concept of the design of the logo for Dynasty, the color scheme, the theme of the main event there. So I don't know. Did you guys catch that? Or am I just a little slow on that sort of stuff where it may be the commentary put it over more so than that way. But yeah. And then also, you know, I'm curious as well. Zach, you're saying, you know, coming out as Black Panther was amazing. It was very, very cool. You know, I'm just curious what your guys' thoughts on commentary in general were as, you know, watching it. You know, did they get the right things over? I saw a lot of switching. You know, Taz was gone as soon as that Jericho match happened. JR was coming in and out of, you know, I think he did the first match and the last match, if I'm not mistaken. Nigel coming in. You know, all that good stuff. Hello, Tracy. Yes, I mean, it was great. I was there, you know, 5 p.m. till, you know, like 1 a.m. So I did not spend a lot of time. But just like in Ohio, street parking is free on Sundays. So that was fantastic. Just for that, St. Louis is A-OK in my book. I didn't have to pay for parking. And it was weird because I parked right by where the parking structure was. So everyone was paying $20 to be in the parking structure. And then like literally I'm on the street parking and I parked for free. So interesting that was the case. But anyway, yeah, super fun. You know, beautiful entry across the Mississippi River. You see the arch, you drive past Busch Stadium, all that on, I think at 70. Or 55, something like that. Anyway, this is very specific, but, you know, St. Louis, beautiful town. And, yeah, it was great. So, great wrestling town, beautiful campus of St. Louis University. Very cool, basically downtown area right there. So yeah, I would say thumbs up as someone who was in and out for the event and did not spend much time there, but seems like a great place. And obviously great wrestling fans with a lot of passion. So, so yeah, that was great. And, yeah, I mean, you know, Zach and I will get in the weeds here and compare and contrast on the Patreon show, as I've said many, many times, but, yeah, great show. I mean, not to bury the lead, and it is, you know, a little less than, I don't know what, 18 hours since it happened, but I think easily the Danielson and Ospreay match is going to go down as is currently, you know, the greatest match I've ever seen live. The other match that took that spot was Dustin Rhodes and Cody Rhodes at the original Double or Nothing. Had that spot as the greatest match I'd ever seen. So, you know, which I don't think is surprising for anyone that knows, like, you know, I enjoy WWE. I watch that. But, you know, greatest matches are not typically where you're going to get from going to a random Raw in your city and, you know, to be able to go to some pay-per-views and see those matches is awesome. So, you know, if anyone's keeping Tyler's personal record book, That's one and two. I don't know what three would be. As a kid, I saw a Hell in the Cell where it was Triple H and Shawn Michaels wrestling for what seemed like an hour and a half, even though it was probably like 25 minutes. So somewhere in the aughts there for Hell in the Cell that took place in Columbus, Ohio. So that would probably be number three, just for the nostalgia factor of it all. But yeah, Zach in here saying Swerve's crowning was better than Cody's because it was so much cleaner. It was clean, you know, and, you know, I'm looking at my notes here. Zach and I both picked Swerve to win, but, you know, and I didn't look at the odds. So I don't know if anyone has those odds before it happened. I didn't want to look it up because I wanted to kind of enjoy this as a wrestling fan more so than someone analyzing the sport, as I've been a big fan of Swerve for a long time and obviously have been on a similar journey to a lot of people of liking him when he first came in and then just growing and growing and growing as a talent and as someone you want to get behind. Having, you know, the Prince Nana character work in a main event act, which I think is something I would not have said when he first was paired with him, to go from, you know, Mogul Embassy with, I mean, just the cast of characters he was saddled with to then move on from there and become the world champion. Pretty impressive, right? And yeah, it was clean. And I didn't know for sure if it was going to happen. Obviously, when he's soaking in the moment and on that final Swerve stomp, and Joe is like, you know, dazed and, you know, getting ready for it. It was like, this is definitely happening. So, yeah, it was very clean. It was a, you know, victory that didn't need a bunch of people coming in, running in, and settling the score. Obviously, that was not the story they were telling. So, two very different main events here, you know, and obviously one is way bigger than the other one from a viewership standpoint and from eyeballs weekly on the television too, right? But I think it was a very well done title change. And yeah, the Swerve era is here. Wednesday, I think, will be very exciting. Typically, and it has not been, I don't know, the last year, 18 months, 2 years even. But I always, in the early days of AEW, really liked the reset shows. Whether I liked the buildup or not to the pay-per-views, you know, the pay-per-views are almost always universally good. Has there ever been a thumbs down AEW pay-per-view? I don't think so. Spoiler alert, this is a thumbs up show for me. But, you know, those reset shows where it's like, oh, that's an interesting combination early on in those days of like, I didn't see this person coming out is, you know, I'm intrigued Wednesday to see what they do. Obviously, who's Swerve taking on next? What are they doing with Ospreay, right? Because now you have to do the Cody Rhodes in between WrestleManias to keep him super over and, you know, explain why he's not going for the title, right? Because, you know, Swerve is at this run now. It's, you know, a healthy rivalry between those two, I would think, of, you know, Swerve being the definitely the more like pro wrestler or, you know, sports, not, I don't want to say sports entertainer like negatively, right? But Swerve is a package of a character with really good matches, right? And Ospreay is an incredible matches with a character that people like, but, you know, is a little one note, and but it's early in his run too, right? It's not a negative. You know, very passionate guy who says bruv and all that sort of stuff, right? So, you know, all that sort of stuff is, sorry, I was reading Sean and Zach's comments, I lost my train of thought, but, you know, I would say that Swerve Strickland right now from a straight, like if I'm a TV executive, seems like a more complete character that you can feature weekly and tell stories. And, you know, Will Ospreay is more of a athlete who does amazing things in the match, who is a good character, right? So what do you do to keep him hot? Will Ospreay was asked in the scrum last night when he's going to go for that title, and he, you know, didn't answer the question, diverted pretty quickly. You know, not like obviously, but it certainly does not seem like he is destined to, you know, take on Swerve at Double or Nothing for that title, right? So is that a transition? And, you know, Zach and I will talk about this probably for weeks on end. Is that a transition from Okada to champion and then Ospreay and Okada? I don't think so right now. That seems like a more you invert that. And like if Ospreay's champion, then Okada's chasing, like going after him. But we'll see. I think there's a lot of awesome possibilities, right? Swerve is a champion, feels fresh and exciting. Ospreay, obviously, is the, you know, if you're drafting people in AEW, he's the number one pick for like the next 5 years. So that's exciting to build around him in a way that I think a WWE would more traditionally build around somebody of his stature, right? Where there's 7 title matches out of 9. 9 matches on the main card last night, and 2, you know, so 2 are not title matches. One was the you know, Copeland Good Guys versus House of Black match. The other one's, you know, this Danielson Ospreay match. So, and it was, you know, that and the world title were the 2 matches that actually mattered, right? All those, you know, not that they don't matter, but, you know, the international title or Okada's title, all that sort of stuff. It who won that match for no title was more important, because that's what pro wrestling is, right? More so than trinkets you carry around. So obviously that's a anti having as many belts as they do, which, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but you know where I am on that. So in a more traditional old school way of getting a guy over and he's not going for the title, I'm very curious to see Tony Khan's strategy to continue Ospreay being over. He was also asked about MJF, Kenny, and Britt Baker availability, and it seemed like MJF is close-ish. Like, that would be a good double or nothing if he's a heel, and him and Ospreay have a really long feud. I think that would be incredible. With MJF coming back as a heel, Ospreay's so over. If MJF did something and came back and attacked him, screwed him over, what have you, I think Ospreay's at such a point now where he can, you know, it's crazy to say, like, guide MJF to be the heel that he should be, right? And those two should be, you know, battling, have an epic, you know, generational legacy between the two of them where they wrestle 3 times in 3 years or whatever you want to do, you know, an Okada, Omega sort of thing. That if you want Swerve to retain the title for a long time, that, you know, if you build to an MJF and Ospreay it all in, that feels like a main event, and then you can do the title match at All Out, all that sort of stuff, right? So, you know, I'm solo, so I'm rambling, but I just think, like, you know, obviously being there live, and I think the show went over well with everyone watching it as well, but I think Wednesday is very important to maintain momentum, not with everybody, right? But, you know, I certainly care what they do with Jericho and what's that character, but Swerve, Ospreay, the Bucks' heels, Jack Perry, right? Maybe getting Okada away from the Bucks. All that stuff is the important stuff, and getting Mercedes and Willow to be interesting there. So, you know, I just think there's only a couple things that Tony Khan needs to really nail in the next couple of weeks to really start gaining momentum for the promotion. That doesn't seem like a tall task. You know, it seemed like a taller task 4 weeks ago. So I think that's a positive strike with a good pay-per-view to build there. So I think on that, I will wrap it up for the YouTube show today. Zach and I, again, if you are a Patreon member, please look out for that. It should be up at, you know, I don't know, 4:30 Eastern or so. But if you're not, please check out patreon.com/brassringmedia to get our full review of the show and all the other great content you get there. And if you are not subscribe, please do so here on YouTube. Hit that bell so you know when we go live. We go live throughout the week, Monday through Thursday. So until then, I will see you guys later, and enjoy Raw tonight.